Hey, it's Chris Fleming. Welcome back to March 2016 podcast. If you get a chance, check out my website, ChristopherFleming.com. Now, we just updated about a month ago. It's got some exciting stuff there. You can check out where I'm going to be throughout the year, such as the lectures I'll be doing on ghosts, paranormal phenomenon, and even some of my workshops dealing with the Sixth Sense and ESP. You could also gain access to the podcasts for Spirit Talk. And many of you have been asking me, where can you get ghost hunting equipment, such as the Spirit Box, the K2 meter, night vision cameras, full spectrum cameras? Well, if you didn't know already, I've got a ghost hunting store website that I've had since 2007. Now, I've been online since 1998 selling magazines and certain collectibles, but in 2007 I started carrying paranormal ghost hunting equipment. So check out as well ghostoutlet.com. That's ghostoutlet.com. We ship everything out within 24 hours. If you have any questions, you can give us a call or send us an email, and we'll be more than happy to answer whatever inquiry you have. Now, we've been serving and shipping to customers all over the world. We've got a 5-star rating, and we work with some of the top engineers and distributors of paranormal equipment across the globe. So go ahead and surf the net for ghostoutlet.com. Now let's get back to our originally scheduled program. My guest is Peter Michael Anthony. Check out his story here. It's very interesting. On November 11th, 1987, he was rushed to the emergency room due to a perforated viscus. Now Peter crossed over at 11:11 p.m. on November 11th, 1987, on the operating room table due to medical complications. His return back to life after his near-death experience is absolutely remarkable. He had awoken with an inexplicable gift of understanding mathematical codes, such as 33, 222, 333, 444, as well as a series of zeros, followed by a series of 01.111s. A lot of ones there. Peter had also awoken as an intuitive. Now, many of my listeners have asked in the past, and even myself have seen some of these numbers. So this is going to make an interesting show because I'm sure we have a lot of questions. But Hollywood VIPs heard about Peter's gift by word of mouth, and they began booking private sessions for themselves, family, and friends. Now, the road to recovery, however, was paved with countless health obstacles, disbelief and denunciation by family members, co-workers, friends, and experts in the medical and religious community occurred. Now, Peter's will to survive became paramount due to what he experienced on the other side. He knew that there was something more to this, so he persevered. In 1995, Peter's near-death abilities landed him on Fox hit paranormal show Sightings. A lot of you may remember this. Anthony traveled extensively throughout America, working alongside a team of paranormal and forensic experts as a psychic detective, resolving forgotten murder cases, as well as exploring haunted houses, cemeteries, caves, and concentration camps. Peter is a TV producer. He's an imagined consultant, a paranormal expert, intuitive, life coach, near-death experience public speaker, and also a numerologist. He's author of the books Keymaster and The Accidental Prophet, due out this year. Please welcome to the show Peter Michael Anthony. Welcome, Peter.
Thank you so much, Chris. And I also have to say thank you to the listening audience. You know, I've been doing this paranormal road since the 90s, and I have to say in the last several years, this type of subject has become like the hot topic. So when I'm talking to your audience and they're listening, I cannot tell you how much I appreciate this. So thank you for doing your job and thank you for having me on your show.
No, you're very welcome. You know, I've always been intrigued by other people that have had experiences because in some ways it's something I can relate to from my own experiences, but also there's things that I know from other people's encounters or things they've gone through that we can learn from as well. You know, and I've been looking forward to speaking with you because we hear how survivors of near-death experiences, something I've been studying for 35 years, that when they come back, they're not always the same person prior to that event. Can you tell the audience, what were you like before?
Well, and this is interesting because I was agnostic, shy, introverted. I stuttered. I was a very gifted artist. I was looking at your website. I noticed that you were an amazing painter. I had that ability as well. And I, at the age of 17, received a scholarship from the Will Rogers Institute for art. And wow. So my journey was all about becoming a special effects makeup artist. And that kind of changed when I had my near-death experience. I also, in order to get in the union, I decided to take a job with CBS and work my way up the ladder and began working with people like Dan Rather and Diane Sawyer when she was with CBS, Leslie Stahl from Face the Nation, Bob Schieffer, and three first ladies. So my career kind of took a change, as it were. And in 1987, I had my near-death experience, and everything at that point in time in my life changed drastically. So I went on a whole new journey, as it were.
Yeah. What happened to you in 1987? What caused that near-death experience?
Well, interesting enough, it's kind of I have to take responsibility here. Back in the late 80s, there was the AIDS epidemic was going on. And for many of us in the television industry, you know, we work long hours as well, you know. And I let something very simple, a misdiagnosis, get out of hand. And what was diagnosed as a stomach ulcer turned out to be Crohn's disease, and they were treating me with Tagamet, which really wasn't doing anything for the bleeding. So by the time I got into the hospital, after four or five months of bleeding and dropping weight, I let something very simple turn into something, you know, quite dangerous. And unfortunately, when I got into the hospital during the middle of the AIDS epidemic, there was so much hype in media about the AIDS epidemic, and the medical crew kind of rushed me aside. I was at that time 100 pounds. I had lesions on my face. And you know, if you like the Ebola plague, everyone was afraid. The nurses and the doctors were afraid to come near me because at that time they thought it was airborne. And so if you coughed or touched anyone who came in contact with someone they thought was in the final stages of AIDS, they themselves got it. So I was kind of whisked away in the corner, and I, you know, by the time they got to me, it was way too late. So I clinically died at 11:11 p.m. on November the 11th, and that's where the journey with numerology began.
Yeah, I could imagine. So do you remember any bits and pieces of, you know, when you left your body or the transition at all?
Yeah, you know, as you've had your interviews, I'm sure, with other NDEs, but we all experienced the white light and this incredible sensation of love. But mine was a little different. I mean, in terms of what I experienced on the other side, was that there was this thing called color, and there was this thing called sound, and there was this thing called energy, and that our thoughts basically are energetic thoughts, that we can actually talk to ourselves. We can actually cure ourselves just with thoughts, and our thoughts are the contributing factor to our choices in this world. So for me, thoughts, color, sound, and math were all wrapped up as one big, huge journey. The thing that was fascinating for me during this, going into what I call the bullseye, was I began to see all these, I call quantum physics, these mathematical codes, 222, 333, 1111, 777, 999. And at that time, I was seeing these codes. I knew exactly what they meant. Now, we didn't really get into triple codes until after 2001. But I knew at that time that they had something to do with what I call moral codes. And so when I came back into my body, the first thing I asked for were numerology books. And I began this search of trying to understand what I call the compound numbers or the master numbers or the karmic numbers. And at that time, Chris, there were no books out on these karmic numbers. There were no books on 222 or even just a little bit of information. So I, through my studies of numerology, began to tap into these numbers by working with a lot of very powerful people in the Hollywood industry. And their numbers, 1 through 9, were not corresponding with their destiny or their journey. So that's when I began to study with Dusty Bunker's books and began to do the compound numbers, or what I call the compound numbers or karmic numbers. Karmic numbers being 11:11, or karmic numbers being 11, or 13, or 14, or 16, or 18. And these have meanings. And so my research on these karmic numbers or compound numbers meant something to me. And so during that tunnel, I began to see these numbers, and when I came back, they became a part of my life.
It's amazing. And, you know, I don't want to take away from this interview here. I just want to state briefly, you made me think of something. So you started having recognition of significance, and you call them moral codes. I wrote this down, karmic numbers and moral codes. You started getting messages or forms of communication after your near-death experience in regards to these codes?
During. Yeah.
Wow.
And I noticed on your website you have – we talk about this – connection when talking to spirits.
Yeah.
For me, it was telepathic communication on the other side.
Right.
When I had this encounter with what I call this entity called God. Now, imagine now, I go back to using the word agnostic. I didn't believe in anything. And yet at this time, when I was having this conversation, what I call the eye of God, I was spoken to through what I call, and this sounds kind of very witchy-woo-woo, through the third eye. Mm-hmm. And I was able to understand everything. And this is something else I want to talk about. And this is something that kind of goes back to this color, sound, math, and energy and thoughts. When I crossed over, I tapped into the collective consciousness, or what I call the collective intelligence.
Correct.
So imagine tapping into the Teslas and the Einsteins and the Darwins, and imagine tapping into your professor in college who was a history professor. All that intelligence was put in my mind, and I knew it all at a split second. So, and these codes, the same thing, I could understand these quantum codes at that moment. And we talk about the series of this, the series of zeros and ones. It was 000.111.000.111.00.11. Wow. And I learned to understand that these were kind of an intelligence beyond our galaxy. And so I began to do some major research on these numbers. Zero is the number of God, and it's – or the entity of God. And it's the ancient code we call as above, so below. We call it karma. And so it goes back to our thoughts. We are the navigators of our life because of our thoughts. And so I began to learn about the 222s, meaning, you know, trust, and the 444, do the work and let God do the rest, and handing over your what I call the committee, those thoughts that we are always worrying about, the boyfriends and the girlfriends and the job and the money and all those things, and handing this thing over to a divine spirit or God or source, however you want to identify.
I'm sitting here listening to you, and, oh my God, are you like a clone of me? I'm sitting here going, but yet you've already evolved towards understanding these numbers and communicating these numbers, because everything you're saying, I'm like, oh my God. You know, we talk about the universal mind. We talk about infinite intelligence, such as what Napoleon Hill spoke about,
mm-hmm.
you know, some of the greatest minds in history. And when you talk about the telepathy, you know, thought transference, stuff like that, they're speaking to your consciousness.
But your consciousness has to be awakened.
Yes, you know? Absolutely.
And I think for me, gone in one way, meaning not believing in anything other than you work, you die, you make your money, you have your relationship, you buy your house, end of story, boom, bye, you're gone. And that changed. And when I began to see what we were doing to our planet and what we were doing to ourselves and what we weren't doing, I call the shoulda and the coulda and the woulda. Right. You know, again, we go back to we are the navigators of our life. And if we can tap into what I call a gratitude, a grateful way of living and thinking and existing on this planet, and that everything is connected to source or to one.
Right.
And that means the trees, the animals, the sky, the galaxies, the stars, you know, the ocean, everything is a part of the frequency of this planet. And where I became concerned when I saw this, I was progressed. I saw my what I call my past actions. We call that the review. But I also was progressed into my future, and I saw myself not stuttering. I saw myself sitting down and writing a book. I saw myself traveling around the world speaking to people. And what I learned, I was here to contribute to the shift of consciousness, and that one person can make a difference. So I set out, again, at ground zero, and basically lost the gifts of an artist and began to tap into this thing called the paranormal worlds. Mm-hmm. And it all because of numerology.
It's just, I'm just intrigued now, you know, I don't even know where to begin, because I'm sitting here. It's like, I know you. It's the craziest thing. I had a, an out-of-body experience. Some of my listeners have heard it, not everybody. I'm not going to go into it, but I had an out-of-body experience. Could have been like 8 years ago, 9 years ago. It's like I don't even remember the exact time it occurred now. But during that experience, I had a choice. I didn't want to come back. Okay, and there's something that occurred. They showed me, and I didn't want to come back. And I said, "There's no way you can get me to come back." And as I sat there on this bridge with this spirit guide in a pearlescent robe, with this white gray cloud behind him, he told me, look to the left. And what I saw and witnessed was, I looked at him and says, "I have to go back." He says, "I know." After I came back, I started seeing sequences of numbers, but yet I don't have the ability and the gift to communicate through those numbers. I shouldn't say it, to know exactly those numbers nor pursue that path. That's not my path. But yet I have found they are communicating to me with numbers, and then I have to go find out what those numbers mean.
Absolutely. And this is the thing that's fascinating about this. I've been on a book tour here for the last year and a half, and my audiences keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And what I'm finding, I started asking questions. I think I was in Phoenix. I spoke to 600, 800 people. I don't even remember. The room was just solid. It was just packed. And I asked a very simple question. I said, "How many here are seeing the number 222? And people stood up. How many people are seeing 333? They stood up. How many people are seeing 444? And I went all through the series of numbers. And I have to say, out of 600, 800 people in the audience, more than half of the people stood up.
Yeah. It's
And so getting back to your, I don't know what these numbers are all. What I've discovered with my audience who are coming in to listen to my lectures is that there is something that is communicating to us, and it's through a series of repeated numbers. And you have to kind of go back to that thought of what is going on in your mind at that time in your life, whether you're at a stop sign, or you're at a coffee shop, or you're having an argument with your wife. You have to kind of think of what's happening at that moment, because that's when God, source, however you want to identify, I call it God these days, because that's what happened to me. I went from not believing to believing in an entity called God. And I began to understand that something was communicating to me, and I had to sit still and listen to my thoughts and what they were saying. And that's how I tapped into intuition.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're seeing a series of numbers, stop yourself. Okay, what do you want to show me? What do you want me to see? And it will come through a song. It will come through a conversation. It will come through even reading an email. But the answer is always there. That's this thing called conversation with God or source. And it will relay itself to you any way it seems fit. And usually it gets your attention through repeated numbers.
Yeah, I know. For a couple of years, it was like I kept seeing 111 and 1111. I mean, so much that I'd be doing something in the middle of it, and something would tell me, "Turn around, and there the clock is 11:11. And I started taking pictures every time this occurred.
It's called the awakening.
Yeah, that's when I was going through the awakening. Wow.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So for me, as I said, when I began to study these numbers, and I did this, I had a very high-profile career. So I did not tell anyone that I was doing this. So on weekends when I wasn't, involved in my television career, I was seeing people free for readings, and I was just trying to figure out, kind of like everyone was my experiment, and I was seeing who was coming to me and what the numbers, meant and how it corresponded with their lives. Especially, I discovered in our film industry, and our whether it was the sound techs or the producers or the writers, they all had these amazing compound numbers. An example like 13 or 11 or 22 or 44, and it wasn't just a basic 8 or it wasn't just a basic 4. It was the 44 or it was the 26/8, and I began to realize that the stronger the vibration that came to me, or to call the stronger the energetic vibration that came to me, the stronger the responsibility of that soul on this planet to achieve.
Oh, last year I spoke about the number 515, that, I was going to go on this trip, and I said to the universe, "Should I really go on this trip? Do you want me to go? Do I need to go out of the country?" And sure enough, the day before I was supposed to leave, my alarm goes off. I wake up, and yet it wasn't my alarm. They were bells, like angelic bells. And I'm reaching for the clock, and I realize, my God, that's not even coming from my clock. And the number on the clock said 5:15 in the morning.
Yeah.
And a voice said to me, and I know that voice, it says, "Remember this number." And then the bells disappeared without me even touching the alarm. And I couldn't sleep. And then, of course, the next day I found out that my flight was leaving at 5:15. That was the thing. And then there was a sequence of 5:15s that occurred, three in a row within 24 hours. And looking up those numbers, it had a significant meaning to that point in my life.
Well, that was about changing your thoughts and beliefs mm-hmm. and your career. And yep. it's almost like downloaded new information and your new journey. And five is always about change, and five is about energy, and five is about downloading new information and what you do with this information and how you go about the planet and however you communicate that message. And so that's why I said I'm very, very, you know, thrilled to be on your show, because for me, having someone like you, you know, my journey was a little different than most people. I went into complete isolation. I went into this 7-year sabbatical of, you know, being denied by the clergymen and the men and women of cloth and therapists and, you know, doctors. You know, the very thing I was trying to identify what changed my life, there wasn't anyone that was accepting what I knew at that time to be so true. It's funny, you know, I'm not bashing religion here by any sure. by any means, but the very thing we talk about, and the angel appeared to Mary, or you know, the angel came and spoke to Jeremiah or Isaiah, you know, that was a paranormal world, and the very thing that our religious teachers talk about oftentimes is the very thing they deny. So for me, it was kind of a double-edged sword, because I was given so much information, I didn't know who to go to. So I began to read books, you know, Many Lives, Many Masters.
Oh, great book.
Amazing.
Brian Weiss, yeah.
Yes. You know, when I was at CBS, I had the chance to work with Shirley MacLaine. So these very powerful people kept coming to me, and I sat there and I listened to everything that everyone said, and I began to kind of tap into a new consciousness. And these numbers, whenever there was a great shift in my life, I would always see these numbers, and I began to study what these numbers meant. And then how I got into the paranormal world, Chris, you'll love this, I became what I call gifted at numerology. And I was contacted by a homicide detective who was working on a case, and the victim that was murdered happened to have all these numerology codes, and listen to this, was a special effects makeup artist.
Wow.
So I was called in, and this was the catalyst that, you know, what I call that change, that one phone call, that one situation in your life that completely changes the rest of your life. And I was able to solve this case against all odds with the DA and the homicide detectives and the police. I mean, back during the 90s, before the medium came out, I mean, people like me were considered circus acts. Yeah. And so I certainly wasn't welcomed by the police and their detectives, but I was able to give them information and did able to solve the case, which led me to sightings. And so my career as a skilled makeup artist, the more and more I tapped into this gift as paranormal, to this day, Chris, you know, I have an understanding of art, but I can't even paint. I mean, my handwriting changed the idea again, I could build, sculpt, paint, sketch, anything, you name it, abstract, you know, contemporary, mm-hmm. portraits, all these things I was given and build completely left me. And this paranormal world opened up to me, and I even my handwriting, people are amazed, you know, seeing my handwriting when I was a young man versus what I am today. I went from right and to left hand, left hand to right hand. Everything in my world changed, and also the stuttering. So the very person that was no longer, and this new person I call Peter Michael Anthony emerged, and I'm a talker, as you can see.
No, yeah, no, but you're well spoken and very articulate, and it's a pleasure listening to your voice, because there's authority behind it, and you can tell experience compared to someone else. You know, I mean, just hearing you, it's like I can feel your experiences. With these numbers, obviously you received messages and numbers that were personally for you.
Right. These numbers would come to me. You talk about 5:15 in the morning. Mm-hmm. Mine was 3:13 in the morning.
Wow.
And when I, an example, if I was assigned a case or what we call a sighting at that time, I always knew there was an authentic haunting, because the spirits would visit me at 3:13 in the morning. And I'd wake up and there they were. And so I knew it was an authentic, you know, sighting when I showed up.
Right.
And here's what I did. And this was the value of learning numerology. And you'll appreciate this. When I showed up, the first thing I do was I asked for the address. And they go, why we, you know, I need to know. Because if there's a 13, an example, let's say the address is 670 South Street. Mm-hmm. I look for 6 and 7, and there is no value to the number 0. So 6 and 7 is 13. I know right off the bat I'm dealing with something. If there is a, if there is an 18, an example, 9990 in the address, then I know that I'm dealing with something that's paranormal. So I began to learn when I showed up to do this.
When there's a 9 in it?
Yes.
Oh, God. Yeah. No wonder my house is haunted.
Yes.
259.
Well, the nines come back and they circle, but these are also, you know, I'm sure kind spirits that visit you. And we both have had what I call the dark forces, but the kind.
Yeah, that was 121 was the address, 121 yeah. Park Lane and 875 Park Lane.
Yeah.
The address got changed, the whole community went from 121 to 875.
Huh. So for me, as I said, the first thing I do is I look at the address. I look at the time of the death or the suicide. And here's something I want to say. I go back to energy, and you can relate to this as a paranormal expert. Mm-hmm. If we are energy on this planet, correct. And you go to an example, what we call a haunted sighting, you know, whether it's a castle or whether it's a cave or whether it's, you know, a house, a cemetery. If something happened on that land, let's say before it was a cemetery, let's say that it was a mass murder, and they decided to, you know, to level this ground and they put a cemetery in, that energetic frequency never goes away until it's resolved.
Right.
So you can build a mall, a cemetery, a house, a church. I don't care what you build on that energy deposit, it's still going to be there. So my job to go in is I try to find out the information of what really did happen during that period of time. You know, was it a suicide? Was it a murder? Was it a betrayal? Was it a mass murder? And then I'm able to go in, and as soon as I arrive, and you've worked on enough cases, I don't mm-hmm. want to do, you know, do a walkthrough and wait for the camera crew to get together and get the sound.
Exactly.
It's like, you know, if I show up and the spirit was here at 3:13 yesterday morning and I'm here now at what time, we're ready to tape.
Absolutely.
So 5-4-3-2-1. They knew me as one take Annie. I got there.
I love it.
You better get me now because they're talking
right.
to me.
Right. Right. No, that's good to hear. And that just shows your authenticity because I know exactly how that works. You know, there's some people just they're on when the camera's on. And it's not how we work.
Well, the ghosts don't work that way either. They're not going to,
right.
Okay, let's go take
exactly.
a break and wait for the sound crew to pull it together here and we'll come right back. It
just
doesn't work that way. And that's why I get so frustrated with production crews because they don't understand the paranormal world.
Right.
And
right.
Anyway, I don't want to belittle that.
No, it's okay. But, you know, it's interesting what you're saying too because some people have been asking me this question within the last month. You know, we've got the demon house in Indiana that had the exorcism case a couple years ago, and then Zach Baggins had bought it. You know, I had the opportunity to go there with Zach and walk through the house and investigate it with the priest as well for his documentary. That may or may not be in the show. It doesn't matter. The point of question is that, you know, the house recently was torn down. Mm. I haven't discussed with him the reason for tearing it down. I do know that what was there was affecting not only him and people in the production, that it was still there. It was still affecting people. But as you just stated here, I don't know what he's done to remove it because even if he's torn it down, it could still be there.
Absolutely. And here's the thing, Chris, what I in my world, and this is how it works, you know, do I resolve every haunted case? No, I do not. But if there is something there, and you know this, when people like you show up or when I show up, these spirits show up because we are what I call the hypersensitive. We are the empathetic. We are the intuitive. We are the clairvoyant, whatever category, whatever title you want to tap to it. But we are that person. And for some reason, as soon as I show up, they make themselves known and they do want to cross over. They do want to go towards that thing called the light.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my job is to help them, number one, to resolve, you know, why they're still stuck. And so they're talking to me as soon as I arrive, and I get what I call videos. When I show up, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and imagine fast-forwarding on your DVD player. You know, there's no sound, there's nothing going on, but you're trying to understand an image that's at accelerated pace. And then the further I get into the investigation, the slower the DVD player becomes, and then slower, and then slower, then finally I'm able to see the clear picture of what really did happen. Wow. So it's kind of, that's how I operate. Everyone's a little bit different, but that's how I operate. Mm-hmm. And I'm able to, at that time, sound comes in other words, the spirit speaks to me, I get clearer pictures, and the forensic experts always kind of are kind of blown away, because when I arrive, they usually are there before I arrive, and I show up, and as I said, I want to do a walkthrough immediately, and I can take them to the hot spots.
Right.
And they're, you know, trying to figure it out, you know, a day or hours, 8 hours, 5 hours, and I'm like, boom, 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 here it is.
Yeah, we're done.
So, okay, where's my coffee?
Well, that's funny, because it's like the same thing with if there's an episode I'm working on where there's a particular person that has to be contacted, you know, they set up 3 different locations to take you. In most cases, the very first location we're at, I'm already communicating with them.
Absolutely.
Or sometimes it's even before we get to the location. And it's like, well, can you just tell them to wait until we get to the third location? I said, no, they're communicating now.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that's what becomes, you know, problematic, is they just don't understand that. You know, but then there's sometimes they don't come through, or they come through later. Sometimes they've come through in between when I'm back at the hotel or whatever. It's... You know, we have no control, since they have their own free will, but yet they are conscious of what we're thinking and projecting about them, which attracts them.
Oh, they hear us. They know us. You know, what I'm studying here, now I go back to color, sound, math, and energy and thought. And this is something I'm just putting this out there. It doesn't mean it's concrete. This is just my own interpretation. But as a psychic, or as an intuitive, or as an empathic, or hypersensitive, what I'm learning is what we do, and people kind of take for granted. You and I get into a REM cycle immediately. We get into that subconscious, superconscious state of consciousness,
right,
and we keep going lower and lower and lower until we're finally able to tap into not just beyond the sixth sense, but the seventh and eighth and ninth and tenth senses, right, where we are hearing the sound and we're seeing the visions and we're feeling, and they're communicating with us. It's a highly sensitized sense, and you know, it's a huge responsibility. But I also find, too, Chris, that these things like to follow me, and they like to come home with me. And,
yep.
And so I've had to learn to kind of balance this. You said something earlier in the conversation. It's something that's happened to me frequently. I'm hearing these angelic bells, mm-hmm, in my condo, and I can't explain it why. And it randomly shows up. And it's in the kitchen of all places. And I'll run to the kitchen, and then it's not there. And then I'm like, okay, so what are you trying to show me? You know, talk to me. And I was doing a radio show about a month ago, and they didn't hear it, but I heard it. They went into my headset while we were just Skyping, and it kind of freaked me out. In the middle of the interview, I kind of paused and was like, oh my God, they're here now, and what do they want to say to me? But I don't understand why I'm hearing these bells. And it's just become a point of interest, a point of determination, and a point of I have to know. Because they're almost like Tibetan bells I hear.
Yeah.
And yeah. I have no idea.
Well, the one thing, when I heard it, it made me stop, listen, and it was truth. To me, it was like, this is truth. These bells are signifying, hello, what follows is truth, that there is no deviation from it. Mm-hmm. It's your choice whether you want to listen to it. But this is truth. Take it or leave it. But we're trying to get you to take it, meaning that pay attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, when I hear those bells, that means truth. So that there's going to be a change. Something's going to be coming up that this is going to help me in using my own free will to make the right decision.
Well, I think I'm going to take that from you then.
You know, it's like if somebody rings the doorbell, they're letting you know they're at the front door, they're coming in.
Right.
You have the decision, the free will, whether you want to answer it or not. You look at, for me, I was raised a Roman Catholic. I was an altar boy. And when he would hold the host up, we would ring the bells. Okay. And I honestly, actually, this is terrible. And I kind of forget exactly what it meant. But my assumption, looking back on it, was to signify the importance of, you know, Jesus, the body of Christ, was he was speaking the truth, that he was truth. And that truth, and the bell signifying that, is stating that, listen, this right here, you need to pay attention to this, because in a very short time, you're going to have to make a decision, and this will help you in that decision. We can't tell you exactly what to do because you have free will. But what we can do, we can tell you that it's such an important decision that we want you to succeed. We're giving you a little bit of information that you must digest, because it will help you in making your decision.
Absolutely. And you use the word free will. And what I learned on the other side was this word called choice. Everything we do is based upon a choice, in parentheses, free will. The choice to listen to this show today, the choice to for me to accept this show with you, the choice for me to work out, the choice for me to take a certain road, the choice for me to accept a lecture or not. Everything is based upon a choice. And what it does when we become responsible for our choices, it kind of takes the victim out of our life and puts us as a proactive being on this planet.
Yeah. You know, I just did an ESP Sixth Sense workshop on Saturday, you know, and I had a connection with, ironically, over a year ago, I asked the universe to connect me with the source. I said, you know, there's the law of attraction, there's the secret. I go, I want the source, forget all that stuff. So I had a couple personal experiences, which, you know, I'm not going to share here. But in one sense, I was introduced to Napoleon Hill within that same week of asking. And stumbling across some of his work to where I was like, oh my God, here's some of the sources. And in applying his source with the sixth sense and creating a definite purpose, creating a goal, which all the greatest self-motivators and motivational speakers have taken from, that right there was like, I wish I had this in high school. I wish someone presented this to me in high school, because it gives you purpose. But your thoughts, your desires behind it is the fuel. So I've been working with that and assisting a lot of my clients and people in my lectures how important that these truths are, so that they can follow them and use them to their advantage. And like you said, you know, when we get disease, when we get sick, when things don't go well, it has a lot to do with our choices and our thoughts that we need to. You know, you could take the secret and the law of attraction says, okay, think positive, positive, positive. But it's not just that. You have to direct. You have to focus that positive. They tell you to focus on it, but they don't tell you where.
And so, this is. Thank you for bringing that up. This is my big issue with the secret. And I'm going to maybe kind of irritate some people here. But it goes back to something. Yes, the secret was phenomenal. It was a breakthrough in consciousness. But what they forgot to share with us was that it has to come from pure intention. Mm-hmm. Because here's how it works. So let's say the concept, you want a car, you want a relationship, you want this. Okay, that's fine. But you go back to a lack consciousness. You know, if you're wanting this outside of you and you think the car or the relationship or the new job or the college education is going to make you happy, I'm telling you, the person on the other side, meaning crossing over, that's not what it's all about. And what we do, we've been kind of misled down this down the road of wishing and your wish is my command. It doesn't work that way. Here's how it works for me, and I'm just how it's contributed to my success. I ask the universe, God, source, how may I be of service?
Yep.
And with that, I ask to be at peace. And when you're at peace, and when you're doing, if you're asking to be of service, that's when the universe shows up. It's not about the relationship. It's not about the job. It's not about the money. It's not about the apartment or about the new car. It's about how I show up on this planet. And this is what's wrong with America, because we've been led down the wrong path of consciousness. And this is why there's this extremism on both sides of our political parties. And so what I'm doing on these lectures is I'm like, let's get back to the basics. And let's get back to these things called choice, free will, and use your integrity and use your principle and use this thing that I learned on the other side called love and balance and kindness and lending and a helping hand. These are the things that are missing, even just the thing called manners. We have that completely missing in all of these primary elections and caucuses. It's just about hate and outdoing your opponent. And I'm like, let's get back to kindness and helping, because if we don't do it, if we can't even learn the basics, we're headed towards a very, very, what I call a very critical time in consciousness. So I think this is why when you've done research on near-death experiencers, you know, this consciousness has finally caught up. And we're nothing more than messengers on the from the other side saying it's all about love, it's all about compassion, and it's all about being of purpose. That's how I perceive it.
Absolutely. And it's funny how, you know, not just through numbers, but through many, many different signs, the universe will reach things out to you to help you create your own definite purpose and that other self of who you are. You know, like I just watched a month ago, I got so addicted to binge watching Spartacus that was on Netflix. And there was many reasons why. You know, I had a past life during that time. So to me, it was just like an emotional roller coaster. But there was things that I grasped from it in applying today. Of course, it was a very violent time, but then we look at it, it's even a violent time today. It's just done in different ways. But the one thing that was, you know, there's good and bads of both time periods. Don't get me wrong. But the one thing that I looked at that was there was some incredible honor towards one another for standing up what they believed in and sticking to it to help one another, even if people didn't see the light of day. And the other thing was gratitude, you know, which we say thank you today, but not everybody says thank you. People take things for granted. And back then, when someone did something or made a compliment to you or did something for you, they would say gratitude.
Gratitude. And that is the overlying theme of my lectures. It is gratitude. That's wow. What I learned on the other side. And it's funny you use the word Spartacus, because that was the show that changed my consciousness.
Mine too.
I watched the show and I began to see, you know, and you know, nothing has changed throughout our history. It comes down to one core ingredient. It's called greed.
Yep.
And I don't care if it's 2016 or if it's the Roman Empire or the Greek Empire or the Spartans, you know, or the Civil War. It's about how man keeps trying to overtake man. And we've got to stop that.
Right.
And so there is this thing I speak about in my lectures called feminine consciousness. And what that means, feminine conscious doesn't mean it's about the feminine consciousness. It's a kinder, more gentle understanding of humanity. And that means our kindness towards our animal kingdom. That means the kindness towards the planet and obviously the pollution. And we're getting away from that. So we've got to get back to that. And I think why the paranormal world has become so popular in today's consciousness is because we're looking for answers.
Mm-hmm. We are. And it's that connection with the spirit realm, not all the spirit realm, because there are confused and negative forces as well that can try to trick us. But in talking to that higher consciousness and tapping into the universal mind, the collective consciousness, as well as spirit itself, there's a lot we can learn from that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, like I said, for me, it's been a mind change because, as I said, when I was on the other side and I saw myself looking down at our planet and what we were doing, and this is in my book, Keymaster, I talk about this in the near-death chapter. I spoke to this entity who I denied as God and said, oh my God, this is not what you wanted. As I'm looking down and seeing the massacre of the dolphin, as I'm looking down and seeing our judiciary systems corrupt after corrupt after corrupt, I'm looking down at what we're doing to one another. And that changed me. In terms of when I came back, I had 7 years of just pure hell, not only with the physical. I mean, I was blind. I was in a wheelchair. I had staph infection. I was 89 pounds for 2 years.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, so people go, well, what's changed you? When I get up every morning, I do a gratitude walk. And I'm grateful that I can see. And I'm grateful that I can walk. And that's where it begins for me. And what happens, the more we are in a place called gratitude, the more the universe provides for us.
Yeah, that's true.
And for me, as I said, think about what you and I do for a living. We are tapping into world upon dimensions, and we're able to cross over into these dimensions. We are using more than 5% of our brain, if you stop and think about this. And we're not even tapping into 10% or 15% or 20% of our brain. We're just tapping into that little bit of our brain. And imagine what we would do if we would tap into that.
Well, imagine what we would do if we tapped into consciousness.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
Tell me more about your book, because you've got two books, Keymaster and The Accidental Prophet.
This is a series of three books. The Keymaster is the introduction. Okay. This is my encounter with an angel in St. Thomas Easter. Now, again, agnostic, not really believing in Easter and Jesus and all that stuff. I had an encounter on Good Friday, and it changed my entire life. This entity that I talk about, I don't want to give too much away, but you have to read the book called Keymaster. But the main character is Brussels. My name is Peter Ethan Michael Anthony, and so I'm Ethan in the book. But it's about my struggle of who I was at the time and how I was in a greedy consciousness and what happened to me on this island in St. Thomas and how my life changed because of my near-death experience and the overall effect of how I began to contribute to the planet of shifting. And that's when my success began to show up. It wasn't the CBS, which was amazing, and all the great kudos of what we call the senators and the congressmen and the celebrities and the TV personalities and the writers and the people, the doers and shakers of the planet. It was when I got into working and doing my life's purpose, I call my authentic purpose, and that's what this book is about. We're all here for an authentic purpose, and it is our job to find that, whatever that might be.
Right.
And once we find that authentic purpose, then we share and we want to help and we want to be the messengers of how we have become successful. And interesting enough, it was Napoleon Hill, the book I read, The Art of Positive Thinking by Napoleon Hill, that changed my life because I stuttered. And when I began to read this book, I said, I'm no longer going to stutter. And I found a dialect coach who helped me to stop stuttering. And he did that by teaching me how to sing.
Wow.
And so I began to see what I called the reality of changing the way I spoke and how it became a part of my new life, meaning going around the country and lecturing. And so I learned to slow down my thoughts and I learned to speak clearly. And I speak from a place called my authentic heart. And that's what people relate to. And that changed. And this is what I talk about in Keymaster. The Accidental Prophet is my entire world of the paranormal of series and ghost hunting and homicide cases and how that launched my whole career into the paranormal world. And the third book, A Man from Brussels, takes us all the way back to World War II and how Adolf Hitler captured five psychics. And how he held them prisoner and how and why he was winning the war because of these psychics. So I take all three of these books and turn into the Keymaster series.
Wow, that's amazing. I'm going to get the Keymaster. I want to read that because I've read pretty much every book on near-death experiences. And for some reason, it's just always, you know, it just reminds me of being there, being back. And plus, you learn more stuff, too.
It's funny
stories.
Because the producers contact me and what I'm doing here on this lecture is I'm going to start taking video footage of what I saw on the other side and turning it into part of my lecture so that people actually visualize what I saw on the other side. And what's so different about this near-death experience is that not only did I see my life review, but I saw my past life review century after century after century, and I was progressed forward into my new life. So again, we go back to this time dimension, these veils of time, past, present and future all wrapped in one. And as I said, that's what this book is all about. So it helps to inspire you. It helps to teach you that we do matter on this planet and that despite the negativity that is on this planet, there are amazing people, these unsung heroes like yourself and myself and the firemen and the teachers and the people we know nothing about right. that are actually doing planetary work. And these are, to me, are the beacons of light.
Oh, yeah.
So as I said, and I'm thrilled because for some reason I was – for 9 years, no one wanted this book. I was so highly engrossed in our film industry. I had to make a phone call and say, hey, let's get that. I was turned down 9 years. No one wanted this book. And I would make phone call after phone call. I thought, you know, I could write this book. I have a bestseller. No, it didn't happen that way. I had to start at ground zero and prove myself as a writer and prove myself as a speaker of the paranormal world. And for some reason, so the last 2 years, it just kicked in. Who knows why? It just did.
Yeah, it's a fantastic, you know, and when we're done here, I'm going to get your book. You can get it on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and people can also go to your website, which is theaccidentalprophet.com. Now, when you do your tour, you travel around San Jose, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Nevada, Los Angeles. You ever go out to the West Coast to the East Coast or Midwest?
Yes, I'm coming to Virginia Beach. I'm going to be there for 3 days in the summer, Salt Lake City. And it's funny, too, because, you know, I'm from the South. And every southern state denies me. They won't let me come in. So I thought, okay, we'll hit the blue states first. So I hit both coasts, and I hit the West Coast and the East Coast, and I hit Canada. And I'm hoping to get down to Australia, but it's all up on the, you know, if you did the political landscape of the election, you'd see the blue states on the West Coast, the blue states on the East Coast, and all of Canada, and all the way down Hawaii, down to Australia. That's where my book is selling. It's so bizarre.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, but yes, I'm coming to the East Coast here in the summer, and I'm thrilled.
You know, with everything that you've been through, what has been like the most significant change because your NDE? As well as the most challenging personal battle that you've had to overcome?
The loaded question.
I know.
But here goes. The overwhelming change my near-death experience showed me that all of us on this planet matter, period. And that we all have an authentic purpose, period. And that if we start with gratitude every day, it is an exercise. I start my day with gratitude. I end my day with gratitude. And it changes the frequency of the spirit. And that's when you begin to actually manifest. And this is when the secret comes into realm. You're actually able to wish for whatever you ask for, and it comes because it comes from pure intention. And so that's what I believe. If you come to the table every day and appreciate what's in your life rather than asking, ask to be of purpose, and that's what I do daily. The challenging part for me was no one listened.
Mm.
The doctors, the priests, the ministers, the rabbis, the divorces, the family members, I mean, no one. It wasn't the health obstacles I had to overcome. Again, you think about 2 years in recovery, walking and not being able to see and in a wheelchair and was given 3 months to live. That doesn't compare to the denial that I received in my television world. But I was laughed, you know, and back in the 90s, we had this thing called trash TV. And I was one of those, you know, people on trash TV that was just belittled public television. So it was, and on as a very successful series. So it was a very tough thing. So I went into this world called introvert. I sat down and I didn't know how to type. So I wrote longhand my first book, Keymaster, on sticky notes and turned it into one of my receptionists and had her type it. And then I ended up getting an editor and she was amazed that how I was able to write my first book with no study. She said, wow. How did you do this? I said, I sat down and I asked for God to guide my hand. And so what you read is longhand on a legal pad and sticky notes on my travels up until 2007. I came out of the closet with my near-death experience in 2007. I quit my job in the film industry and decided to become out in front and center with it, and I haven't stopped since.
Good for you. Good for you. You're fulfilling your purpose. Now, I've got to ask this question. I know a lot of my listeners would say, why didn't you ask him? Okay, the significance of people seeing the numbers 222, 333, and 444.
Wow. 222, this is the Archangel Gabriel speaking to you that all your worries and concerns are being taken care of. Got it? 444, this speaks to me of the Michaels. This is where here. This goes back to authentic purpose. When you're seeing the 444, are you on your path of destiny and your career? Or are you just taking the buck as a CPA and you want to be an actor? Or are you an actor and you really want to be a CPA? You know, this is do the footwork and let God do the rest. In other words, hand your desire over your career, whatever that might be, and hand it over. Because when you're seeing 444, it is about purpose. And 333 is about higher consciousness, higher thinking, higher purpose. It is the Christ consciousness. This is the number that Tesla and Einstein and Darwin all began to see. Even Maria Auschwitz during Hitler's psychic that was held in captivity all began to tap into 333 way before we became conscious of the number 333. So it is a direct conversation that is going on to the listener. When you're seeing the number 333, you're seeing it on a license plate or at the time, or an example I got, a federal access package with 333 Geary Street in San Francisco. I pay attention because that means the Christ consciousness is speaking directly to you. Mm-hmm. And if you're seeing the 000, stop what you're doing. This is a direct conversation from God, source, meaning they want to talk to you. So pay attention.
That's awesome. Just because, I mean, last week in the middle of the night, you know, I opened up my eyes, I'm laying on my back, and you can't, the 1 o'clock on my digital Comcast thing, which is at the end of the room, you can't see it where my bed is. You have to sit up to be able to view it. Something says sit up. And I go, what? It goes, sit up and look at the clock. So I get up and look at the clock. It says 222. It says, remember this number. I said, okay, I'll remember it. And I actually, I haven't looked at it. I forgot until I remembered you telling me this. And this was last week. It was over the weekend. So
ask all your listeners that are listening to this, all of you listen to this. If you're seeing the 222 or these series of what I call the triple codes, these are moral codes. What is happening in your life? What needs to change? What is your real purpose? Why are you here? Why are we experiencing this right now at this time of consciousness? This is a direct conversation that we need to tap into. And what I do is, as I said, I get up every morning and I have my gratitude walk, and I get a series of numbers throughout the day. And I just, every time I see the number, I immediately stop what I'm doing and I say a prayer for mankind and for our planet. That's mm-hmm. what I do. And it seems to work. And it makes me feel that I'm playing my part, that I'm doing something in terms of my thought, because thoughts do matter and thoughts do become things. But thoughts only become things when it comes from pure intention.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I'll tell Peter, thank you. You've been just an incredible guest. You know, people can get your book at Barnes & Noble,
yeah.
Amazon.
Yeah.
Your book, Keymaster, and I see that you've got some other stuff on your website, too. I'm looking at it right now.
There are all these articles I've written about consciousness and where we're going. And also, I'm a studier of astrology and the importance of where we are astrologically. It's funny you use the word Spartacus, because if you go back to Spartacus, if you go back to the American Revolution, if you go back to the Renaissance, if you go back to the Elizabethan period, we are identical in consciousness to all of these histories, repeated history. So in other words, if you were to overlay the planetary constellations, the alignments of Spartacus and Greece and the Elizabethan period of time and the Civil War and where we are today, you could not tell them apart.
Right.
So this is a critical time, folks. We are here to shift our consciousness. So let's play our part.
Yeah, and everybody start listening to the messages the universe is sending you. Peter, any last things?
Thank you, Chris, for doing your job. It is, as I said, it makes my job easier, because if you're doing it and I'm doing it, that's how consciousness has shifted. So I bless you for what you're doing, because it means the world to me.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much. I mean, it just, it's inspired me hearing your story, but also it's exciting, because it's like we all are playing that part. And then when it's all said and done on the other side, we celebrate.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That vista at the top of the mountain is always the same. It's spectacular.
You got it. Well, thanks everybody for listening. You've been listening to Chris Fleming and Peter Michael Anthony on this edition of Spirit Talk. See you next month.